Well, 2 weeks ago, John taught on prayer. And last week, we taught on prayer and getting back to the basics. Last week, Jerry taught on getting back to the basics, letting the main thing be the main thing, and not I, or me. Well, I have a question for you today. And I'm gonna pick out one person and ask that one person, but the question is to all of you. Marianne, did someone ever ask you to pray for them and God told you, do not pray for them? Okay, all right. I've had it happen. And also, there's been times that people had asked for prayer, and they would ask for a specific thing. And I was told not to pray for that specific thing for them, to pray that it be God's will. So I want to take my text today from Numbers 22. And I started to name it kind of following the theme or the TV show, Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? But this would be, Are You Smarter Than a Donkey? Balaam's donkey. But I decided to label it, Be Careful What You Pray For. Verses 1 through 8 kind of sets the story, the background, that the children of Israel came out of Egypt, and they were getting ready to cross over. They were in the plains of Moab by Jordan, getting ready, opposite of Jericho, getting ready to cross over. And King Balak summons Balaam because he knows Balaam has favor with Adonai. And he's wanting to go against the children of Israel. And he says he's afraid that they will lap up everything within the land, all the riches and everything. And he wants to keep all this for himself. So he summons Balaam. Starting down with verse 8. Well, back up a little bit. Verse 7. So the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the fees for divination in their hand. And they came to Balaam and repeated Balak's words to him. And he said to them, spend the night here, and I will bring word back to you as the Lord may speak to me. And the leaders of Moab stayed with Balaam. And then in verse 9, then God came to Balaam and said, who are these men with you? He asked He said, "Who are these men with you?" And Balaam told them, "The elders from Midian, the elders from Moab." He's asking them what they wanted. And Balaam said to God, "Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent word to me. Behold, there is a people who came out of Egypt, and they cover the surface of the land. Now come, curse them for me. Perhaps I may be able to fight against them and drive them out." And God said to Balaam, "Do not go with them. You shall not curse the people, for they are blessed." So, God has given them an answer. I ask the question again. Have you been praying for someone or something, and God has given you an answer? So Balaam gives the answer to their to them, and they go back to and give it to their king, Balak. So Balaam arose in the morning and said to Balak, "Leaders, go back to your land, for the Lord refused to let me go with you." And the leaders of Moab arose and went to Balak and said, "Balaam refused to come with us." Then Balak again sent leaders more numerous and more distinguished than the former. And they came to Balak, came to Balaam and said to him, "Thus says Balak, the son of Zippor, let nothing, I beg you, hinder you from coming to me." Sent more distinguished leaders, and they try to intimidate him, try to intimidate Balaam with their power. And they try to buy him with their riches. Is Hasatan trying to intimidate you with what God has given you as an answer to some of your prayers, some of your questions? Is he trying to buy you with riches? Or is he offering something to you that you would like, or he's telling you that, you would be out of touch if you do what God tells you. He won't say what God tells you, but you would be out of touch. You wouldn't be sightly in the eyes of the world. Balaam gives his answer. Says to the servants of Balak, "Though Balak were to give me his house full of silver and gold, I could not do anything, either small or great, contrary to the command of my Lord. And now, please, you also stay here tonight, and I will find out what else the Lord will speak to me." Why is he going and asking again what the Lord will speak to him. The Lord has already given him an answer. Not only an answer, but a commandment. And commanded him not to go, not to curse the children of Israel. Has God given you an answer? And you keep asking, why do you keep asking? Do you know that sometimes you keep asking, he'll give you your way to teach you a lesson. And sometimes it's a lesson you don't want. So be careful what you pray for. And God came to Balaam at night and said to him, if the men have come to you, rise up and go with them. But only the word which I speak to you shall you do. Maybe you keep praying that prayer because you didn't get the answer you wanted. What do you think? God doesn't know what you need? You don't think he doesn't know what you want? Better yet, do you think you know more about what you need than what he does? He knows what you need. I know sometimes that some of the younger people in search of a spouse will pray, God, let me have this man, or God, let me have this woman. And God might tell them no. At that time, it might only be no for a short while, but it might be for good. And God knows what's best for you. So if he gives you an answer, quit asking. If that person is for you, he tells you no at that time. When the time is right, he will let you know. He loves you and he wants only the best for you. So Balaam arose in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the elders of Moab. But God was angry because he was going. Why is God angry at him? God told him to go. God told him to go. Why did he get angry at him? Because he didn't listen to the first answer. Be careful what you pray for. And an angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as an adversary against him. Now he was riding his donkey, and his two servants were with him. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand, the donkey turned off from the way and went into the field. But Balaam struck the donkey to turn her back into the way. Is God giving you signs? Is he putting up roadblocks? Are you ignoring them and going on and doing what you want to do? God gave Balaam donkey a roadblock. Balaam's eyes, more or less, were blinded. Because he was intimidated by Balak and the men that Balak had sent, the power and the authority and everything that Balak had given his men. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path of the vineyards, with the wall on this side and the wall on that. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pressed herself to the wall and pressed Balaam's foot against the wall, so he struck her again. God will give you more than one sign. You start getting close to that line, God will give you a sign. You step over the line, he's going to give you another sign. He loves you. He's trying to draw you back. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam. Oh, wait a minute. Let me back up. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn to the right and or to the left. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam. So Balaam was angry and struck the donkey with his stick. Or maybe you just want to take the easy road. The road that looks nice. The road that everybody else is going down. Got a pretty little vineyard, you know, that you can walk through. Everybody else is taking that road. Easy path. The way of the world. We're in this world, we got to live in it. No way out of it. We, as a society, here in the West, and a lot of the other countries too, I guess, because of the Greek way of thinking, think it's an evil world. The Jewish way of thinking is opposite from that. It's not an evil world. Where in God's word does it say it's an evil world? Some of the people in it have perverted it. They're evil. Don't take the easy path. Be careful what you pray for. Sometimes we need to humble ourselves before the angel of the Lord. Even if this means getting down before Him on our face. Do we need a lesson from the donkey? Is it three strikes and you're out? Or do you want a fourth down? The Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said to Balaam, "What have I done to you that you have struck me these three times?" Then Balaam said to the donkey, "Because you have made a mockery of me, if there had been a sword in my hand, I would have killed you by now." Would you be the same way? Would you think the same thing? If the donkey, somebody or something, did something like that to you, would you want to take a sword and kill the donkey? If the donkey talked to me, I think that would be enough. I would be listening. I'd get on my face. Do we blame others for our mistakes? Well, they wanted me to do this, or they wanted me to do that. They wanted me to pray this way or pray that way. Somebody wants you to pray for them. They try to tell you what to pray. No. I've had some of it like that. I'll pray for them, unless God tells me specifically not to. But I'm going to pray that it be God's will, not their will, not what they want, unless what they want lines up with what God wants. Is God not saying, have I not given you warnings along the way? Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand. And he bowed all the way to the ground. Does Adonai need to open your eyes? And the angel of the Lord said to him, why have you struck your donkey these three times? I have come out as an adversary because your way was contrary to me. God gave him the answer way back up there. Told him not to go. Not only an answer, but a commandment. Has God given you an answer? Has he given you a commandment? If he's given you an answer to something, that's it. Stop praying about it. Move on to something else. Pray on something else. You say, but my unsaved relatives, God isn't going to give you an answer to stop praying that way. I don't believe, anyway. I don't believe he'll tell you to quit praying for your unsaved loved ones. But if he does, rest assured they've already gone too far. The one incident I was talking about where God told me not to pray for someone, that was the incident. It wasn't a lost loved one, but it was someone that was seeking God, seeking Adonai. He had already given them the last chance. He said, get up off your knees and move away from that person. Not a place or a position you like to be in, to think someone is already gone too far with Adonai. So listen. Listen to what he has to say. This person in particular had blasphemed him. It said, I don't believe there is a God. And I guess there was a lot of other things in there also that I didn't know about, but so my question is, are we dumber than a donkey? Or do we need to be on our knees asking his forgiveness and not questioning his answer, but accepting his answer? Heavenly Father, I thank you and I praise you, Father, for this word you've given me today, Lord. Father, I pray that I take it as a warning, that we all take it as a warning. To be careful what we pray for. But yet to be continually in an attitude of prayer before you, humbling ourselves to your will, O Father. Praying that your will be done, Lord, in our lives, in our midst, in our congregation. Mm-hmm. praying for the best of the for the congregation. Praying that we line up with your will. That our will not be contrary to you. Praying for our city, our state, our nation, our leaders. That they lead in a godly way. And praying that we be listening to hear your word, to hear the answer from you, O Lord, and to take that answer which you give us whether we think it is good or whether we think it is bad. And to move on from there. To let your word and your will be done. In Yeshua's name, amen. Yeah.